Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Wow. Man, I love that pastor of yours. And I can honestly say she changed my life. The moment she was born into this world and they handed me that little bundle and that blanket, at that point, I'm going to tell you, my life changed. You know, I've got boys and girls. And I want to tell you something. When they handed me my first boy, when they handed me Denny Rodney, I knew in that moment that I would die for him. I didn't even know this little dude, but I would die for him. But when they handed me Destiny, I would kill for her. That's just what little girls do to you. It's just amazing, and to hear her stand here and pastor you and shepherd you and love you. Somebody said, I don't like women preachers. I said, well, you're in good company. Neither does the devil. The word of God says this. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. The same people that are telling us that women can't preach are the same people that are telling us that prophesying is preaching. And all I can tell you is that girl right there was born to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that son-in-law of mine, how I adore him. He can do no wrong in my eyes. I love Philip Dees, and he has this great big heart for the whole world. And it's just the healthiest thing in the world, folks, that you would be a church whose heart is attached to the world and attached to the world through your leader. Because right now you have made an investment. There will be people whose names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life in Malaysia and Indonesia and Vietnam, Singapore during this month. And all I can say is that you will have part of that reward. You have answered the call of God to preach the gospel to the whole earth. Amen. Well, I want to get right into the word, if that's okay with you. And this is, of course, Father's Day. Very, very special day. I'm going to ask you to turn with me, please, to James, the third chapter. And I want to read a passage of scripture to you, and I'm sure that when I read it, you're going to wonder how in the world it relates to Father's Day. And I pray that the Lord will help me to answer that question by the end of the message. Here's what the Word of God says in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Now, this next verse is our springboard scripture. And this is what it says. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. By those who make peace. Happy Father's Day. The name of my message, or the title of my message today, is Grace to You Fathers. Grace to You Fathers. And of course, I'm saying you fathers, and I include myself in that grouping as well. I'm going to sit down here because I somehow escaped playing a lot of years of football without ever having a knee problem. And for some reason, sitting 3 hours on an airplane has given me a knee injury. So I don't know what that's all about, but this isn't my new style of preaching. This is necessary today. Father's Day is one of those days in the calendar of the church where pastors sometimes just don't know what to do with it. They just have no idea how to handle Father's Day. Now, Mother's Day is different because the moms are sweet and wonderful, and they're normally the ones that have held homes together and been the voice of reason and sanity and blessing and comfort. And the messages that are preached on Mother's Day by all of us pastors are all of that. Just sweet, wonderful. We couldn't have done it without you. God bless you. Come forward and get your gift. When it comes to dads, we kind of have a beef with dads. Kind of feel that dads are the reason for the crumbling of the mores and folkways of our society. Kind of feel like dads are at the bottom of all of the problems that we are facing with our young people and with our nation. And so we preach to fathers that aren't there. And some of the sermon titles are incredible. I mean, they're so apocalyptic. Here would be one of them. I want to preach to you on the subject of, Dad, where in the world are you? Now, you know, if you brought your dad, who isn't a normal church-going guy, that's not a real warm hug for him as he sits in the sanctuary. Or how about this one? The absentee father. Or this one. Fathers, the heart of the crisis among youth. That's a great feeling to have that one blamed on you too. Or healing your father wounds. Speak on healing your father wounds. Or Dad, step up and be counted. Or maybe this one, the pain dads inflict. Now, I want to stop here and say, I'm absolutely sure that every dad here has made mistakes. Some more serious than others. And that every single one of those titles would probably be an important perspective for all of us to consider. Most of those messages, however, are not being preached to the fathers like yourselves this morning who actually showed up this Sunday. So when I was preparing my message, I said, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll probably just preach to the dads that are there. I don't really want to call out the fathers of the culture that have somehow not stepped up to the plate. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes. You wonderful, faithful, for the most part, Christian men that have come to church on Father's Day. And It's important that we get this title into our spirits this morning. Because dads need grace too. You know, I'd like for us to make a mental list this morning of the ideal dad. Now, I want you to follow along with me, and if you have any more to add to this when I get through, you can just shout it out, and I'll make sure everyone gets it. But I just made a list, and I kind of got some help from the internet postings today. A lot's on the web this morning about Father's Day. Let me just give you some of the descriptions of the ideal dad. Godly. Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? Godly. You know, Dad, you can't ever be anything greater than just godly. Had the privilege recently of preaching my favorite coach at Louisiana Tech's funeral, Mickey Slaughter. You know, when you play sports, you always have the one guy. There's always the one that somehow impacted your life more than all the others. And in fact, I sat down with all of my head coaches at Evangel recently, and I said, who was your one? And all of them immediately said one name. Well, the one name for me was Mickey Slaughter. I loved Mickey Slaughter. I think Mickey Slaughter could have been the president of the United States. He had a great, great voice, big, booming voice. He had a great sense of humor. He was brilliant. He could talk to you about any subject. And let me tell you, if Mickey Slaughter was the guy in the press box calling the plays, and you were the defensive coordinator of the opponent, you were in for a tough night. What a great, great coach he was. I'll never forget sitting in the stands. I was back at Louisiana Tech working a football camp. And I was sitting by Coach Slaughter. And there was another one of our coaches from back in the day, Wallace Martin, that walked up to sit with us. And as he walked up, Coach Slaughter looked at him with that big, booming voice. And he said, "Well, hello, Wally. How are you doing? Wally, you look wonderful." And Coach Martin came up and sat by him. And this was who he was. And he turned and just kept staring at Coach Martin. And finally he looked at him and said, "Well, Wally, how am I looking?" I've got dozens of moments like that saved in my mind about my favorite coach. But what blessed me is that when I visited his home and his two boys, Bobby and Mike, were talking about their dad's godliness, because he was not the kind of guy that was overtly religious. This is what they said: we don't have to question our dad being a godly man. And he pointed to the kitchen table. He said, because at 4 o'clock every morning, he was there our whole lives without fail. And then they went and got his Bible and handed it to me. And I opened that Bible. There was not one page in that Bible that was not marked and repeatedly marked. You see, it's just so good when you've got a godly dad. Another quality is kind. Just a dad that will be kind to you. A dad that can exhibit kindness. Another is understanding. Understanding. Had the greatest time with Dez the last few days. And you know, it's wonderful as you begin to be an older dad because you have selective memory. And I don't know. I think it's the Holy Spirit that does it. In his grace, he allows you to forget all the moments when you didn't qualify as the most understanding dad, and you remember all the moments when you did. And so I remember the day when Dez called me and said, "Dad, I don't want to continue to go to Yale. And he had over a 3-point average at Yale University playing football. He said, I don't want to play football. I don't want to be here. Dad, you know, I've always wanted to sing, and they're going to allow me to go straight to the television rounds for The Voice if I leave. Dad, I want to go. And I handled it beautifully. I said, of course you can go. Well, I was talking about that with Dez and a friend of his from Nashville who I knew was very impressed with my understanding. And Dez said, Dad, you know, that wasn't our only talk. And I said, I don't remember any other talks, Dez. He said, no, he said, you didn't handle that well. I said, but Dez, I don't remember it like that. He said, no, he said, you call me back and you said, Dez, it's Yale. You could get a degree from Yale. I said, well, son, that's the goodness of God. Selective memory when you're a dad of 70. What I can tell you is this, understanding is a quality that every dad needs. We all need understanding. A dad should be prayerful. We should be able to know the sound of a dad's voice in prayer. There's a young man who lost his life. Honey accident. His dad was there. As his dad, as a result of this accident, came to Christ, he mourned over that moment. Because when his son was bleeding to death there in the woods, having been accidentally shot, he said, you know, I talk to him, I comfort him, but he said, Dad, pray for me, and I couldn't. Because I didn't know how. You see, it's so important for dads just to be able to pray. There's an authority when a dad prays. A dad should be a great listener. A dad should be generous. It's important that we be generous with our children. A dad should be patient because you're the dad. And they're the children. And they're exactly as you and I once were. A dad should be fun. He should have a sense of humor. You ought to know the sound of your dad's laughter. A dad should be faithful. He should be faithful to his wife. He should be faithful to his children. He should be faithful to God. A dad should be a very good husband. At least he is working hard at it. A dad should be a church attender. There's not an investment in the health of your family that you can make that is any more solid and is backed by more evidence than just getting up on Sunday morning and saying to the family, we're going to church. I didn't say sending your wife and children to church and being proud of yourself for not opposing them. I'm saying going with them, leading them, walking in, sitting beside them. Let me say something to you, sir. You might not even be a believer, but you still need to come to church. It's just a good thing to come to the house of God on Sunday. A dad should be a great provider for his family. A dad should be attentive. A dad should be wise. A dad should be affectionate. You see me with my family, we're affectionate. My boys walk up and kiss me wherever they are. And if there are four or five of them there, they line up and kiss me. We are affectionate. That is our mark. You say, well, that's not who I am. Well, guess what? When you come into a community, you don't get to just be who you are. And when you establish a family, you don't get to just be who you are. You get to be who those kids need you to be. And that's affectionate. Forgiving. Have to be forgiving as a father. Now, the Bible is the source of whatever Father's Day list is in your heart today, because all human goodness has its foundation in the heart, the character, and in the word of the Lord. And this is what I will tell you. We as dads are transgressors. We don't measure up. And let me say this to you. As I read that list, there are some of you that are even up in years who are looking over your shoulder at a dad who you would have loved if he would have been described in that list that I just gave. But do you know you're blessed if your dad measures up to just three or four of those qualities? And realistically, most dads would be ecstatic to know that they have owned just one of those principles. That they have thoroughly embodied just one of those descriptions. See, this is what you need to understand. Fathers are just people. Let me say it again. Fathers are just people. Word of God says in Hebrews 11 and 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive as an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, this is called the Hall of Fame of Faith, and it kicks off with this three-generation triumvirate of great fathers. Not really. No, the Bible doesn't say they were great dads. It does say they were great men of faith. You see, the fact is, these three men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, wouldn't have scored very well on the list we just read. Well, they were godly, but their homes could have been a great episode of Jerry Springer. Abraham, he didn't measure up. He was going to be the father of many nations. But yet, Abraham had gone into the handmaid of his wife, which was a custom in those days. I mean, it's just amazing, these people that God chose. How many of you know God's different? He is. He chose these people. And there was a baby that was born, Ishmael. And then all of a sudden, Sarah is pregnant. And Isaac is born. He's the child of promise, but yet we've got this other kid. What a mess. And you know, Abraham was so much the father of faith, the patriarch of all of those that would believe. And yet, he was constantly shifting the responsibility to handle the mess to Sarah. He couldn't even handle his own home. Fathers are just people too. And then there's Isaac. Come on now. Isaac, who absolutely had such division in his home. They definitely didn't sing that little song that my wife wrote for our kids. Esau and Jacob never put their arms around each other and sang, we're going to be the best buddies. They were fierce, bitter rivalries in that home between those two young men. One of them was called a supplanter. Now people have said, well, that's a thief, that's a deceiver. That's not really what the original language means. I'll tell you the connotation. I don't know how many of you have ever coached sports or you've ever had kids that played. There's always that eager beaver little kid that isn't good enough to get into the starting lineup who follows the coach up and down the sideline and goes, come on, it's my turn. Send me in. Can I go in? That's the supplanter. He was always after something. But there was division in the home. That all gets laid at the feet of the parents. It was not a great situation. No, Isaac was human too. Then, of course, there's Jacob. Jacob never saw a deal he didn't like. He never saw an opportunity he didn't want to take advantage of. Jacob, who will always be known as the one who outfoxed the fox Laban. Jacob, who was out for himself until he had that incredible encounter with God. Just a failing, faltering, flawed man. Fathers are humans too. Here's what I'm going to say to all of you dads. There are things you regret. There are mistakes you've made. But I want to say to you, Happy Father's Day. And grace be to you. Because God uses men just like you. And it hasn't been all bad. You have grasped some principles and gotten some things right that have made a huge difference in the lives of your children. Give these dads a hand. Here's the second principle. Fathers make mistakes. All of us do, all the time. I had a friend who was in Indiana, and I would see him when I would go preach at this, what they call a camp meeting in Indiana. Way back in the day, they had these actual camps, and people would come, and there would be a couple of thousand people at this camp meeting. It was great fun. It was just preaching and eating. It was wonderful. And I would preach this camp, and this one pastor who had a couple of little boys was always a guy that just kind of gravitated to me, and I loved him. I loved his kids. And so his little boys and I would always make a date to be able during that week to go out and throw the football, and I'd brag on them, and we just had a wonderful time. It wasn't until years later that I ran across this guy again, and it was on an airplane coming from Springfield, Missouri. And he said, I've been pastoring in Springfield for the last 10 years. I said, yeah, I heard that. How's that going? He said, it has been the hardest time of my life. I said, well, explain to me what you're talking about. He said, well, my son, he mentioned his oldest son. I didn't remember his name, but I did remember the two boys. And I said, yeah. He said, well, the FBI, and they surrounded my house and arrested my son for drug trafficking. He was one of the biggest drug pushers in our city. And said he's been sentenced to 20 years in prison, and I've been going to visit him. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. He said, well, I'm telling you, Denny. He said, it's been terrible, but it hasn't been all bad. Said he's found the Lord in prison. He's going to Bible studies, and he's being used of God to reach out to some of the other guys that don't know anything about the Bible. He said, I go to visit him, and he said, I went to visit him the other day, and I said, is there anything that you wish I had done differently? And he said, he just looked at me and began to weep. And he said, for the next 3 hours, he poured out the things that were the hurts of his life. Well, I thought that was a great idea. And I also thought I would get a very different result from that. So Destiny was at SMU. She was in school. And I would go over and just sometimes have the opportunity to meet her at a little cafe off of the campus called Cafe Brazil. And we just had wonderful, wonderful times together. We've always been close. And so I was feeling philosophical that night. So I just looked across the table at her as we were having coffee at about 10 o'clock that night after she got through with class. I said, baby, I said, is there anything you wish Dad had done differently? Fully expecting her to look across the table and say, oh, no, Dad, it was ideal. In that moment, big tears splashed down her cheeks, and she said, I don't think we got enough time tonight, Dad. What I want to tell you is this. We all make mistakes. All of us. All of us do. All the time. Don't be afraid of that. Just use it as a stepping stone to a higher grade of fatherhood. And here's the last thing I want to share with you. Fathers need grace too. You see, it's important for you if you have father scars and father wounds to understand the power that there is in that. You see, I don't understand. Well, you have been equipped just by your hurt, by your ringside view to this bruising that went on, uniquely equipped to be able to give grace. You see, you don't get to give grace unless there's been an offense. You don't get to forgive unless there's something that has to be forgiven. And let me just say this to all of the dads that are here. We all need forgiving. We all need to take a fresh look through the lens of our children. And we need to be honest about the fact that, yes, we need grace that can only come from the offended party. But when that grace comes, when you have actually reached the point where you are able to receive grace, because you know that there are places that you've missed it. There's a bond, there's a closeness, there's an intimacy. There is a glory that is beyond anything that you could ever, ever imagine. Now, this Sunday morning is really about one thing. It's about a grace that we're going to receive today that, number one, heals wounds of the past. Here's what you have to understand about our God. He is a healer, and all of his healing touches do a complete work. He didn't heal blind Bartimaeus and say, well, I think seeing out of one eye is pretty good, buddy. You just go on your way. He didn't heal the woman with the issue of blood and say, you know, I think that probably the episodes of this are going to be way down. He didn't heal the lepers and say, you know, I think you're going to get better gradually and maybe you'll even get rid of all of that stuff eventually. When he heals, he heals. And when he heals us with his grace, the past is forgiven, forgotten, and is never brought up again. And all I want to say to you, dads, is this. Receive the healing of grace. Receive the healing of grace. Don't think about it anymore. Understand that today in church is a brand new step forward. And let me say, if you've still got kids at home and you are still interacting with your children, which most of us are, allow God through this healing to also heal your perspective, to also give you a new lens to see life through, to also give you qualities like those on that list that can only be empowered by Him. And then the second thing is, when we receive God's grace, gentlemen, it builds expectations that are based on God's ability, not ours. There are a lot of us here in this place that like to be transformed by the power of God in relationship to our families. Some of you are here and your kids aren't speaking to you. Or maybe you're not speaking to your kids. Stop that silly thing right now. You call and humble yourself and you ask those children what it will take to get back in their good graces. And the very first thing you say when you sit down before you take a sip of the coffee is to say, baby girl, I was wrong. Please forgive Dad. I want to walk with you in a brand new understanding. And here's the third thing. Grace opens a grace-based trust. You know, a performance-based trust is impossible. Because it literally depends upon behavior. But a grace-based trust is glorious because it always assumes the fact that we're going to fail each other. But it always assumes the fact that there will be enough investment of grace in the account to cover not only the past transgressions, but the future. Because if we walk together as families, we have got to walk in a faith-based trust. Now let me get back to this scripture, and I want to read it one time, and then I'll be done. I lost my place. See if this makes sense. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Will you all stand with me? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and shut yourselves away with God. I've got to ask you this question. Do you think God can do this for you and your family? I mean, do you think He can? If right now you know there's a need for Him to, then I want you just to put your hand up so I can see you. Because God may bring your face back to me this week where I can pray for you. But just raise your hand up all over this place. If you say, boy, I'll tell you, that message just kind of spoke to me and my bunch. Just raise your hand, please. All over this place. All over this place. Yes, yes, yes. You know, it's going to be that way in every congregation in America. If this message was preached there, it would be the same kind of response. That's how needed this simple word is. Amen. I want you to pray this prayer with me right out of your heart, audibly and responsibly. Lord Jesus, this makes more sense. This thing of a faith-based, this thing of a grace-based trust. Because I've been living with a performance-based trust. Lord, I want to make peace. I want the harvest of peace. And so I pray that today something powerful will happen in me. I am so sorry that I have had this exalted sense of justice that I can't even live up to myself. Lord, I need your grace. And I need it now. I want everyone here to think about your Father. And for some of you, it's even tough to focus on him in your mind because it wasn't pleasant and it wasn't good. And everything that you feel is the truth. It's the truth. It was that bad. But right now you have power. And the power in you is to give grace. In fact, there's no one that has been equipped with the pain that you have suffered that can empower your grace giving like you. So right now, I want you to just lift your hands and say, Lord, I thank you that I have been empowered by my wounds to give a special grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I give it in the name of Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't mean in some of your cases that you'll have the closest relationship with your dad. Doesn't even necessarily mean that anything's going to change on the outside. This is what it does mean. Is that which you have carried inside, you will no longer carry. Because now you have unloaded that this morning. And now I want to talk to the dads here. I want you to lift both hands to God just like this. You say, well, you know, I'm uncomfortable. Okay, then just carry the television. Just do this. Just do this. Turn your hand over like that. And I want you to get ready because I'm going to pray for you. Now, Father, empower these men to be real men of God. Empower them to understand that the seeds they are sowing right now will reap a harvest. Whatever they're sowing is going to come up in their lives, in their yards, in their future. And I pray, oh God, that every one of us will determine to sow the harvest of peace, so that we might live in the peace of God that passes understanding. Lord, we need your help. We're just human, and we mess up, all of us do. Lord, I pray that your grace that is extended right now to every one of these men will be something that they will receive. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Never forget, I was in Florida. No, excuse me, I was in Arizona. Who cares? I was in Arizona. And I was ministering. And at the end of what I had to say, there was a man that came right down the middle aisle and reached up and took my hand. And folks, when I tell you, when I shook his hand, it was literally like you were shaking the hand of a cyborg, of a robot or something. It was metal. And I shook his hand and I looked down and I said, sir, who are you? He said, my name's Archie Moore. I said, not Archie Moore, the former heavyweight champion of the world. He said, one and the same. I said, what are you doing here? He came down. Like it would be like here and only one person comes down. I said, why are you here? He said, because I've been running from God for 70 years and I thought it was about time I stopped running. I said, you're here to give your life to Jesus. He said, exactly. And I led Archie Moore to the Lord. Here's what I want to tell you. When you as a man surrender totally to the Lord, when you really give him your life, you will be equipped for all of your roles. Husband, businessman, laborer, father. But it has to start with Jesus, and it has to start with you being man enough to say, I don't really know him. Know about him, but I don't really know him. And for you to really give your life to him. I've led thousands and thousands of strong, wonderful men to Christ all over this world. But I'm going to ask everyone to bow your heads, shut your souls with God, and just for a moment, if you will say, I don't think I really, in fact, I know I'm not really what you'd call sold out to Jesus Christ, Denny. I want to be, I need to be, I've got to be, for my sake and the sake of my family, I need to make this step. Then I want you right now just to lift your hand high where I can see it and then put it right back down. Would you do that right now? Just put your hand up high where I can see it and then put it right back down. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pray this prayer with me. Jesus Christ, I give you my life and I thank you for this new beginning. In Christ's name, I am yours, Lord, and you are my Lord, and I make this declaration to you. I will never be ashamed of you after this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.